Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. We are back in the real world, having come down from the madness that was Nebworth. And today's episode is going to be a review of that. I did a Patreon call-in with Simon Hughes and Khan Might Say. And so we'll jump straight into it. But basically, you hear me and Simon talk initially, and then Imran joins us a little bit later. So I hope you guys enjoy this. I'll come back to you with another episode with a few bits and pieces we've had in some recordings we did on the day at Nebworth and an album review and things that we've had in. So should be still some good stuff to come in the next few episodes. But for now, let's cross over to me having a chat with Simon Hughes, shortly joined by Imran.
There we go. All right. Well, look, let's just crack on. If anyone else wants to join, I always think with these things, I know people plan these things in advance, but when you've got like three kids and a dog and a job, I'm just like, look, I can do it tonight at this time. If you want to come on? Great. If not, I'll do it myself. So anyway, thank you very much for jumping on.
No worries. I feel like a bit of a zombie, actually, because I'm absolutely knackered.
I bet. Yeah, I know. I feel that way as well. And I wasn't even drinking yesterday.
No, nor me. Well, I don't really drink anyway, to be honest. But
oh, don't you? All right, and fair enough.
I mean, you know, I live in North Wales, but yeah. I'm actually down in Plymouth at the moment.
Okay.
So it's my daughter lives down here. She's gone away for 2 weeks. So I'm doggy sitting two little sausage dogs, which are like got attitude. So I had to travel from Plymouth yesterday morning. So I set off got up at R5, set off at 6, picked my sister up around the M25 because she's camping down in Hastings, and then drove to the car park and I had to get out of the car park last night, drop her off, and then come back down to Plymouth. And I got back it's about 4:30, so it wasn't too bad, actually.
Bloody hell, 4:30. Yeah. I think it was probably a half hour walk. I was in Red car park, found the car absolutely fine. As I said, it was a bit confusing because, you know, like everyone was sort of splitting off and splintering off, and I didn't necessarily follow the path. There was bits, but there was people that were so hammered. Like,
yeah.
you know, like doing that thing where they're walking, but they're kind of almost falling over, like leaning, you know, like internet videos you'll see, like, oh, the most drunk person ever. That was like, it was probably about seven people I saw like that drunk on the walk back.
We took the most, the best decision ever, because my sister, she said to me, she goes, do you fancy running? So literally we stayed till the end of Champagne Supernova, and literally we just like barged our way through the crowds. We were in the red car park as well, and sprinted back to the car as best as we can. Obviously there's people in front of us, but as soon as we got out of the actual arena bit, you could actually move quite freely, believe it or not. So we got back to the car, and you know the wide path that they put right down the middle of the car park? I managed to get out of the car park straight down there with no one there. Well, there was about three cars in front of me. And as soon as I got to the bottom, I had about a 10-minute wait, and I was on the motorway on the A1.
You bastard.
So when I saw all this, all these tweets this morning saying, it took like 3 hours. I slept in the car. It was a nightmare. I saw all the pictures. Like, so sorry. but I thought, oh, God, I'm glad I wasn't stuck in that. But I actually really, because, I mean, I didn't want to miss any of the gig. But literally, I said, like, we got to run, really, because I've got to drive to Plymouth. I didn't fancy that in the best of times anyway.
No, it was funny getting out, like, because I didn't think we did too bad. I mean, we didn't run or anything. We waited and, you know, sort of strolled back. And then, but I sort of thought from where we parked up, like, oh, well, it's not actually, you just got to get down the bottom of that end and then you're out. You know, it was easy. So I thought we'd be out quick, but then, yeah, literally got in the car, drove from where we were parked on to try and get into the lane where you drive down. But it was just completely chocker already. And after about an hour of waiting, you know, then just didn't move at all. Just sat there like, yeah, it wasn't like you're inching one car at a time. It's just completely solid. And then a load of cars obviously thought, sod this, and started like driving. Once, I suppose, a lot of cars had got out of the way in the parked area. Yeah. And they started like bombing down, like just down. So they're not even joining the queue and then going down. They were just bombing down.
It was like a free-for-all, wasn't it? I couldn't believe it.
Free-for-all at the bottom. Like, and then you're sort of doing that thing of like, the people are trying to nip in. And I would say, no, I'm not going to bloody let you in, you bastard. You're now 20 cars ahead of me.
You're still there now.
I know. But then you do, like, because they just nip out and do that thing where they wave. And you're like, yeah, you fucker, I wasn't going to let you out.
But it sounds like there was no organisation. I mean, because when we got there, there was a few people there, but we got out really quickly, as I said. And I didn't really see any stewards anyway. And even the walk from the arena down like that little lane to the car park, it was pitch black, wasn't it? There was no lights at all.
Pitch black, no one around. Yeah, I saw a couple of people a couple of times. There was one area where there was three people, a woman barking instructions, and there was one other geezer I saw sat there, that way. But yeah, you would have thought there'd been a lot more, but
yeah, I didn't see anyone.
How are you doing, Imran? You okay?
Hi, Imran.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
All good. Did you, have you been to one of the gigs this weekend?
Looks like he has a t-shirt.
Yeah, mate.
Where were you?
Yeah, so I went on the Friday. I went on the Friday, and we ended up leaving at about 2:30, I think. Same thing, just
you drove as well.
Yeah, drove. My mate drove, and we were sat in the car for 2 hours, and. What happened was, because obviously we were bored, just sitting there waiting for the cars to move. My mate left his, because we listened to a radio, we were listening to stuff, we were watching Seinfeld on my phone. And he just left the car on without the engine on. And then when the car started moving,
battery dead.
Battery was flat.
Oh, no.
So he said, oh, no, it's fine. I got jump leads. So then he went to get the jump leads, and we tried to find someone to help us. No one would help us. No, I don't want to lose my place in the queue. They went off and were like, oh, shit, what are we going to do? But then luckily there was someone. We just asked everyone to help us. There was someone that did absolute fucking legends, came over, knew what they were doing, knew, like, because we kind of didn't know what we're doing, connecting the leads. And he knew exactly what he was doing, is exactly who he needed, got the car started, and then, drove out there about half two.
Well, we had the total opposite. I went to Nebworth 96.
Yeah.
We were on the Saturday night, and my sister at the time lived in Chepstow, and she drove, and she had I think it was about a 2-year-old Vauxhall Astra at the time. So we drove down, parked in the car park, got back to the car after the gig in 96. She went to start the car, went to move off, handbrake had seized. So she phoned, she was in, I can't remember if it was the AA or the RAC she was in. So she phoned one of them, whoever she was with, and she said, I'm at Nebworth. And he was like, you've got no chance, we can't get through. So she said, well, I'm on my own, stranded woman, all this. He said, don't care, you know, gonna have to wait till we can get through. So I can't remember the time now, but we were sat there in the car for hours and hours. We just got our heads down, but I think we must have left there about 4 or 5 in the morning by the time they got there and sorted the car out, put it on the back on the back loader. So
that is
yeah. just before you joined him, and I was just saying I had the total opposite experience this time. So I had to drive. I don't live in Plymouth, but my daughter does, and I'm doggy sitting down there. So I've driven up from Plymouth for the gig yesterday. And after the Champion Supernova song finished, literally me and my sister, because I went with my sister, we went to the decision of, right, what we're going to do is we'll run back to the car. We need to drive down to Plymouth, so we need to get away as quickly as we can. And I was out the car park literally in about 15 minutes.
you had to tell the story again. Like, I didn't hate you.
Yeah,
enough,
yeah.
And you had to tell it again. No. Well, to be fair,
I think I should put a tweet out about it. Actually,
no, don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. But no, because I kind of knew it. I accepted it. It was like, right, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
I know it. You know, I'd seen everything.
Well, we saw that as well.
I had the experience from Nebworth 96, where it was like the coach park. You know, and it was getting the coach park out was a nightmare.
Yeah.
But this time around, I'd been reading like people waiting 2-3 hours in the car park. So it's like, look, we know that that's going to happen. So just sort of accept it. You know what I mean? Like, when you can't even move, it's like, well, what can we do? You know? So we just sort of chilled out and And then once it did finally move, then it was all right. But and then as soon as you got on the main road, it's dead easy. It's nothing because they closed off that junction, didn't they? It was easy then. It was like, oh, okay. I was expecting to get onto the main road and be another, 40 minutes.
Did you have any trouble? Because I was reading today that some people had decided to try and walk down the A1M. So, well, did you have any trouble with that?
Well, I heard that happened on the Friday, that a load of people
was it the Friday?
Yeah, to walk to Stevenage Station, because I saw that basically, a load of people ended up walking down the A1M to Stevenage Station. And then so they had to shut the road instead of getting the people off. They just let the people carry on. And then so that's why people couldn't get out of the car park, because the A1M was closed, because there was no way to physically get out. So, I think that's what happened on Friday. But
Imran, anyway. Where were you traveling to?
Huh?
London.
London. West London. All right. OK.
Yeah. Yeah. It only took about 50 minutes to get back.
Just rub it in, well, why don't you?
All right, well, look, that's the logistical, middle-aged geezer talking about the car journey out of the way.
Yeah.
Let's actually go back to the fact that, that we've all three of us here have been to Nebworth, this weekend, which was very cool, very exciting. But we'll start with you, Imran. So because if you were there on the Friday, so that was the first one. So what about, what did you think of the support? Let's start off with that. Well, let's start off with, what was your expectations? How are you feeling about it? Who did you go with?
So I went with my mate, who is 29, a lot younger than me. I'm 40. But it kind of was interesting that the other generations that didn't grow up with Oasis when they were teenagers, but who know the words to every single song and love them. So first of all, the weather was absolutely glorious. No rain, sun, or not even cloudy. Just, I think the clouds obscured the sun for 2 minutes. You know, I can remember we were queuing up. But yeah, no, the weather was incredible. I wasn't really into many of the support acts. I don't really know much Paolo Nutini. He was on before Kasabian. Don't really remember the support acts apart from yeah, those two. Kasabian were amazing. Serge, oh my God. So like Serge coming in seamless, just a seamless sort of taking on of the front man of the band. I didn't expect him not to play guitar and just to sing. Obviously he did both, but yeah, they've got some absolute tunes and they were great and the crowd loved them as well. Yeah. So yeah, I was impressed actually. I was impressed with Kasabian. But yeah, I feel like it was trying to recreate. My expectations were that it was going to be like a festival full of acts that would play all day and it would be an all day thing. And it, yeah, it was pretty much that. I think Kasabian were the only support act I really, really liked.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to jump in on Kasabian because obviously they did both days, but I wouldn't say they stole the show, but I know a lot of people said that about them when they supported Oasis on the last tour, that they kind of stole the show. And sort of similar to the Prodigy kind of did steal the show, I think, in their birth in 96. But I thought it was, it's just a difference, isn't it? I mean, I don't really like all the cheesy, okay, everybody over here and now everybody over here and stuff. But you can't deny it works. You know, when people do that, I mean, you don't want it to go to the whole Bon Jovi sort of extent. But when Serge does it, just because he's a cool guy and he was going, come on, let's go fucking mental when it drops like that. Now everyone jump now, you know, and you can't help but okay, you know, and it was almost like, you know, it's like when you go to a sit down gig and then and the singer says, oh, come on, stand up now, everyone. Come on, we'll dance to this one. You go, OK, it's like you need permission. Maybe it's an English thing. You feel like you need permission to do it. But yeah, when they sort of, you know, when he was sort of like, OK, everyone up, go like that. And you can't help it. And yeah, and I was really wondering how they would do without Tom. And I thought Serge did such a fantastic job. You know, like he was like prowling the stage like a boxer, oh, so like good. A caged animal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Kasabian before when Tom was the singer?
No, I never did actually. I was thinking that the other day.
I've seen him quite a few times. I've seen him quite a few times, and it's some brilliant experience when Tom was there. And I, although I enjoyed Kasabian yesterday, I felt a bit that it was missing something for me. And maybe it was just me coming from it because I've seen them and loved them when they were like headlining on their own. And it was like Tom singing. And then you had like the going backwards and forwards between Serge and Tom as well. And I sort of missed a bit. I'm not quite sure what it was, but I think they did it. He did an excellent job of like lead in the band, but I just think there was something missing. But I can't quite put my finger on what it was.
Well, but Tom.
yeah. Okay.
But I wondered whether, because you know, like what's his name, Robert Harvey from The Music is in the band now, and I wasn't sure if he would then be. Yeah, he's like the bald-headed guy who was mainly doing the.
Was he from The Music? Was he?
Yeah, that's the main guy from The Music, and. And I wasn't sure if he'd be on stage doing Tom's parts and then, you know, up front doing Tom's parts. Obviously, in The Music, he didn't have a guitar. He was just on the mic.
Right.
But no, he was like he was playing the guitar. And so he was then singing a lot of Serge's parts, like the higher stuff, you know, and then Serge was kind of doing Tom's parts. So I thought that worked well. But I wonder, I mean, I don't know anything. I've not really ever read many interviews or anything, but whether kind of Serge was sort of been ready for this moment, you know what I mean, to like take the front of the stage and like now I can really shine, because I know over the years kind of he's done a few more lead vocals himself and things like that. And so
he had started doing more, hadn't he, on the last
couple of years of last albums and stuff. So whether or not he was like ready, and now he's like, no, I'm taking the front of the stage now, you know. And the fact that the other guys were all wearing black and he was wearing his, you know, I don't know what he's wearing on Friday, but he was wearing that real rascal kind of leopard print.
He was wearing a red and black sort of leopardy print.
Rosie, okay.
He came out like a boxer coming into a ring, yeah, didn't he? It was like that big, like cape jacket, cape coat sort of thing, like a trench coat. From where
he
I
was,
I
very
could
much
see
the
anyway.
Star. There was a bunch of drunk women behind me who were just lusting after him the whole way. Fucking hell, sort of stuff. He's so fit. Check him out, like that. And it was like, all right, calm down. But but it was amazing. Like, once again, you know, this is people that. I know Kasabian a few years later than Oasis, but still, you know, there's some of their stuff's, what, 2000, the first album's, what, 2004, something like that, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's about 2004, because Clubfoot was, yeah, I think it's about 2004.
And so you think, well, that's like 18 years ago, and everyone knew all the words, you know, and I was really sort of impressed, but yeah. That's interesting to hear your perspective there, Simon, because as I say, I didn't think, well... I suppose I didn't know what I was missing. I just knew that, you know, he did a great job with the crowd. But
I mean, don't get me wrong. I thought it was a brilliant. I thought he led the group, and the tunes they sang where normally a Tom would sing, I thought they were brilliant still. But maybe it was just me being a bit picky, because maybe I was just missing Tom. I don't know. But I just felt there was something slightly missing.
No, well, fair enough. Right, so I just give you my quick takes on the support. So Goat Girl, I thought were fine, like sort of quite elasticary, which, you know, is a good thing. But to be honest, I wasn't paying a huge amount of attention to them, but I thought it was decent enough. And
before you go on, just stay on Goat Girl a minute, because...
Okay, and I was just going to say that the one song that really stood out was that song, The Man, where it was like, I can't remember the lyrics now, but I'll drop in the clip here.
Taking the piss when you said you can't remember the lyrics.
Well, go on. I think the
lyrics were about, I think it was about five or six words. It was like, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Yeah, it was like, you're the man for me. That's it. You're the man. And that got everyone going, actually. Even the people that weren't paying attention were like nodding their heads along and singing along to that. So that obviously is like a big tune. But
I thought they should have been renamed Go Off Girl, because I didn't think much of them, to be honest. And I can't remember where I've listened to an interview somewhere with Liam, and I'm not sure whether it was on Zoe Ball's breakfast show or something, but I seem to remember that he was asked about the support bands for Nebworth, and he gave the answer of I think he named one band that he could remember, obviously apart from Kasabian. I don't know which band it was, but then
Fat White Family, I think.
Yeah, then the interviewer had to prompt him and say, "Oh, you've got these bands supporting you," and he said, "Well, I don't really know much about them. It's my kids that have picked those bands." So, and I'm assuming that he's referring to Fat White Band and Goat Girl, and I think there was another support act on the day you went, Imran. I can't remember what it was called now.
Amil.
Amil Nitrate and the Sniffers.
Because they've been slagged off on Twitter saying they were really poor, and I thought Goat Girl were. Yeah. I was talking to my sister, who I went to the gig with my sister. I was talking to her about it, and I said they remind me of a band where I could just imagine like Lennon sitting down with his mates in the pub, and one of his mates is like the lead singer in this band called Goat Girl. And he turns around and says, "Oh yeah, my dad's just booked Nebworth to do Nebworth in the summer," and she's like, "Oh, you're joking! oh, I'd love to do Nebworth. And, oh, don't worry about it. I'll get you sorted on the list. They seem to be like a pub band, and they seemed a bit overawed by the occasion, which is, I suppose, is understandable because they looked quite young anyway. But yeah, I didn't think much of the tunes, to be honest. I thought they all sounded pretty much the same sort of like vibe and blurred into each other. So I couldn't get up for them. But maybe I needed a drink. I don't know.
Yeah. No, well, fair enough. No, I thought that I like the vibe. I thought the harmonies were really good. You know, and the harmony sort of came out well. And she's got a nice voice, sort of like Justine Frischmann-y, I thought. But no, I thought they were decent. But as I said, I actually have listened to a few of their tunes, and other than that, the Man song, you know, haven't really grabbed me since. So, you know, yeah. I don't think they'll be on heavy rotation. Next up, Fat
I'm intrigued.
White
Family.
What the hell was this?
Imran, you missed an absolute treat. Okay. You missed the best band ever.
This is the Beatles meets Led Zeppelin meets David Bowie. No, this was like... So, I mean, but I tell you what, right, let's take it back.
I'm still recovering.
I've just watched Pistol, the Sex Pistols show on Disney yeah, yeah. Plus, right? And I was sort of saying, I think I might have been saying to my daughter even, like, oh, that's the thing. These days, everyone's so boring and they just like, you know, they just want to be respectful. And that's the thing. No one challenges. No one goes out there and pushes it and challenges anymore. And that was in the back of my mind. And then these guys come on. I'm like, what the hell is this? Because it was really, I mean, the first song seemed to go on for about 20 minutes and it was just a mess. It wasn't like a real song.
It was just like,
I think Katie, who we'd met up from Sound Effects, she said it was like shamanistic. And I thought, okay, I can get that. But I suppose, I think maybe like the Stooges was probably like, when the Stooges was probably the closest sort of thing I could sort of spot to them. But really, like, what the hell, like, unlistenable, you know, not even like weird.
So Imran, I've got to describe it to you. So literally they came on the stage, yeah, and this guy comes on and he's naked. From where I was stood, he looked like he was naked. And then at second glance I realized he had like they weren't even boxer shorts, but they were like nude color, but they were like a women's sort of like spandex thing that holds you in sort of thing. And he was, if you picture, I don't know if you've seen like pictures, like, you know, when you go on a holiday and you're on the beach and you see like old men in their 60s and they've got like, they're probably like had toned muscles in the back in the day, but now all their like boobs are like drooping sort of thing. It was this old man, and I'm like 50 this year, and he looked older than me, so I'm guessing he was probably about 55, something like that, maybe even bit older, I don't know. Anyway, he walks on the stage and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be cool. He looks like some like Bez character out of Happy Mondays, and he's going to be like the dancer in the band sort of thing. No, he was the fucking lead singer. When I say singer, I say singer in the loosest terms possible, because I never ever understood one word that he sang. I couldn't make any, and I'm not just saying that, I just couldn't understand one word. And he literally, and I'll do a demonstration for you now. This is it. And then he just did that all the way through, and then he was trying to have sex with his microphone. He was like, and I was thinking at any minute now he's going to do something really drastic with that microphone at the other end sort of thing, and it was like totally bizarre. Himself in the crowd like Keith Flint in 96 with the Prodigy, and I'm thinking, he wouldn't want him touching anywhere near me, but he's like he looked like he was oiled up and everything. I'm thinking, what the hell? I know everyone was just stood around in absolute amazement, just staring at this guy thinking, what the fucking hell are we watching?
So, you know, when you did that impression of his vocals, that reminded me, do you ever watch Shooting Stars?
Yeah.
Vic would do his club versions of the track.
He made Vic Reeves sound like The Beatles.
He was. Well, I'll tell you what. To be fair, I'll give a bit of a devil's advocate here. Like after that first one, I was like, "What the hell is this?" Later on, actually, they had a few tunes that were much more driven by like a riff. So there'd be like quite true, a cool like true. Riff going on, like but like similar to Stooges again, it'd be like a do 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 do, and that was like okay, cool, this is all right. But then yeah, the fact that this idiot's like just mumbling and just being a
well, playing devil's advocate as well then, because I know I've just slagged them off, right? But I was so, I mean, it's right up there with, they are the worst band I've ever seen live, and I have seen quite a few bands in my time, but and they're, you know, it's not even close. They are the worst I've ever seen. Yeah, but I was so intrigued, and I had no signal. But one of the first things I did today when I woke up, I googled them because I thought they can't be as shit as that. Surely, I've got to listen to some of their stuff to see if they really are that shit. But I don't know if any of you have googled and like and gone to YouTube and listened to any of the stuff. It sounds totally different. And it's you can make out some of the words on YouTube and they've got quite a big following. They're quite big. And I was looking at their Twitter feed today, and all their like mega fans and their supporters were all saying that Liam Gallagher wasn't ready for it, and they should have been the headline act, and they don't know what I would have gone to see them, and then I would have like walked off after Fat White Family being on. They should have been called Fat Shite Family, to be honest with them. But yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
They are awful. But yeah. If you're into that sort of stuff, then go and check them out.
Yeah, and, like, I did listen to them. I like made a bit of a playlist before the gig, and as I said, I've heard a few Goat Girl tunes, fine. Michael Kiwanuka, I know his stuff anyway. We'll talk about him in a sec. But then Fat White Family, I listened to a couple of them, and I was like, and this is like the Spotify most listened to track. So it's like, okay, you know, it's normally going to be their best sing songs or their best singles. And I'm like, I can't even get through a whole song. You know, I just listened to them. Yeah. I just couldn't even get through it. So I knew what we were in for.
Lead singer did that, and he threw himself into the crowd two or three times, and I honestly think, looking back, having listened to a few of the songs, when I say few of the songs, I didn't listen all the way through, but just to check him out, I think he must have been that high on drugs yesterday. There's no other explanation for it. I don't know what he was doing or what he was sounding like.
The biggest crowd that a lot of these support bands have ever played in front of. So
of course, yeah.
They probably are quite nervous. Doing a lot of drugs probably get to sort of escaping the situation a little bit. And that's probably a plausible theory.
I don't know.
But I don't think it was the right choice of band for support.
No,
full stop. No. Really, even if they came on and sounded like they did when I listened to on YouTube, I still think it was the wrong choice of support band.
Yeah. Well, here we go. So, well, next up we had Michael Kiwanuka, who you know, I've listened to his stuff over the years. When he came out, I know I think he won the Mercury, I think, or he was BBC Not Sound sure, yeah. of whatever year or whatever. Yeah. I mean, he was sort of. You know, got a lot of radio play and stuff, and I've enjoyed like a couple of his albums, but like sort of I'll stick him on, and it's sort of backgroundy sort of music for me. So I've never been a massive fan of his, but he's always, you know, if he's on Jules Holland, I'll watch his performances, you know, rather than fast forward and sort of guy. And I thought it was nice. I thought it was really enjoyable. I just sort of almost felt like it didn't feel right for me.
Exactly.
You know, it was fine. I enjoyed it. It was just nice sort of background music. But, and yeah, his band were great. The backing singers were great. It was just, I really enjoyed all of it. I think there was a couple of times when I thought, oh, this is the wrong choice of song. You know, it was a really chilled sort of song. And I think, come on, mate, do a few more upbeat ones, you know, try and get the crowd on your side.
Yeah.
You know, just try and do something, or maybe do a cover or something, you know, just to, you know, because he's such a great talent. But
It's the sort of act that you have on a Sunday afternoon at Glastonbury, and you're like chilling out and just like
exactly
having a chat between your mates, and then just listening to it in the background, sort of thing. It was the wrong choice of band again. Well, band artist, you know.
I'd love to have seen him at the Jazz Cafe in London, or something like that. Small intimate venue, you can really pick out all the instruments and just check out the, because they're so talented, such a great band. But I don't know, just didn't feel.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it like you, but you know, for the day to try and gee up the crowd, by that sort of time, you'd seen two awful bands, in my opinion, and you wanted something to like lift you up, and you had this like mellow sort of tunes, and I was like, I was just itching for the for Kasabian to come on, because I just wanted to, to get the crowd pumped up, sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
We seemed to have to wait quite a long time for that to happen, but when it happened, it happened, obviously. But yeah.
What makes you blind? I hope to find who I believe in. Get back in line. I can't deny myself. Show me the feeling. You got me wrong. If you don't belong, live in the trouble. Don't hesitate. Time heals the pain. You ain't the problem. I lived a lie. Love is the crime. It's you I believe in. No need to blame myself. No need to die. I'm only human. I'm done. You got to put me on. I know if you come along. Don't hesitate. Time heals the pain.
Cool. All right. Well, look, Imran, what did you think this? Because you were there on the Friday. What was your experience of Liam like them? Where were you as well? Where were you in the venue?
So, you had pit one, which is right at the front, and then you had that area behind pit one. It's a bit bigger. We were in the area behind there.
Okay.
And I was right up against the barrier, and we were next to the big sound tent, if you like, right on the right, quite close to it. So that's where it was. His voice is sounding absolutely brilliant. That's what I really noticed, like really like rounded, powerful. And he was on top form, just completely smashed it, like charismatic, just everything. I kind of wish, because everyone's singing along to the Oasis songs, you can't really hear Liam that much. But then when he does his solo stuff, people don't know the words as much. And I was just like, I was really impressed. The band are good. And I think I must admit, my expectations of the band were surpassed. I think they sounded really, really good. I think he got the balance of, Liam just gives people what they want, and he got the balance perfect. I think starting off with Hello, Rock and Roll Star, Morning Glory, like perfect, just perfect song to start off with. And everyone that was with, I reckon like the age of the people around me were like in their 20s, and they just like, they love Oasis as much as me, who grew up with them, and I know all the words, and I just, it's just what it's all about. Just getting pissed and just singing your heart out to just absolute tunes.
Yeah.
And like also the solo stuff, I knew all the solo stuff, all the words, and it was a great atmosphere. My favorite song of the night was?
Can I guess?
You can guess, yeah.
Roll It Over.
Yes. Was it yours as well?
Mine too, yeah.
Oh my God. Oasis never did it live. Liam, I don't know what it was like on the Saturday, but Liam, he just was having such a good, you could just tell. Like at one point, he was just loving it so much. He just threw down his shakers and just like in ecstasy. Yeah. And I could just felt like he was so happy they were doing this song because he loves the song. That's how it felt to me.
Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And the band absolutely smashed it. That is incredible. They were incredible. What, just the version they did, I was just, that was, yeah, Roll It Over was just really blew me away. And then the other thing was you could hear, because not everyone knows the words to it, you could hear the whole thing perfectly.
Yeah.
And yeah, A Diamond in the Dark as well. I'm really glad he did that. And he smashed that. There's a bit in the song where it's quiet and there's not much, no, any instruments. It's just his voice. And I was like, wow, wow.
Yeah. Completely agree on the voice. Absolutely nailed it. And I completely agree. It was annoying. There's people singing it, you know, and I know that's what we're there for. Like, we're there to sing along. And yeah, it does annoy me a bit because I'm like, I want to hear Liam and I've got some drunk geezer like in my ear. And but then also, like, there was a guy in front of me and he was literally like, he was either filming and then I'm just staring at his fucking phone like, stop filming that, it's right in my way.
Where were you?
I was basically front of the barrier to not the front, yeah, like the second pit effectively to the left hand side. And then that's where I was for Kasabian. And then we kind of came in. So I was kind of pretty much central, slightly to the left, straight on. So I could see Liam, and because we were with Katie from Sound Effects Pod. And so I was like about three people back and she nipped and actually got onto the barrier. So she had, because she's only 5 foot and a fart. And so she was like able to then actually see it, which was really good. And then, yeah. And so I had a really good view other than this big fat geezer in front of me, and he kept like throwing his head back like that in ecstasy, and his arms kept going out like that, like throwing his arms out wide, like he's, you know, like Wayne Rooney goal celebration, you know, and he's swinging his arms. So I'm like, if he elbows my missus in the face, we're gonna come to worse. But no, he's bigger than me, so that's not gonna happen. But then he's either filming or head like that, like practically on my nose. I'm like, mate, would you just enjoy the show? Like, you don't have to make a show of it. But yeah, so that was very distracting. But then we kind of got to the side. But I do sort of think, like, you know, could everyone, okay, just sing along quietly, let me hear. But the point I'll make about the band, for me, like, I was taken out of it a bit by the band. And I don't know if it's just the sound or they just felt off to me. Like, it just felt a bit like, yeah. I was just nervous. Like when they're going into a solo, I'm thinking, oh, come on. Or like, it's like, oh, was that bass note off? You know, it was just, I just thought there was a number of times when it was like, have they come in at the wrong time there? I mean, I don't know if what you thought about that side, but I just thought, like, they just sound off. I don't know if they were. I mean, I was interested because I think that tonight they've been playing Radio X highlights of the gig. But yeah, I don't know if they were off or if it was just the sound. I don't know. What did you think, Si? Did you think they sounded a bit off?
Well, first thing, I'm not a musician, so So I don't really pick. It's like I can listen to a band and think they sound amazing, or they sound shit. There's no like sort of like in between, like they're all right sort of thing, you know. I can't pick on things and say, oh, that sounds a bit off there, and you know the bass is, you know, as far as the bass, when some of the support acts were on, I was saying, oh, the bass sounds a bit deep there, needs to, yeah, you know, hope they sort that out by the time Oasis come on. That's the only comment I made to my sister at the time, but that's about as far as it goes with a band to me. I thought they sounded really good to me, but you know, I'm not a musician, but yeah.
Well, so I'll be honest, I couldn't really hear the bass where I was.
Could you not?
No, you I could feel it, and but I could hear the guitars and the drums and Liam's voice the clearest. The bass was just sort of there. I think maybe it was just where I was standing. But a couple of points on the band, I thought that the I called him Steve McManaman because he just looked like Steve McManaman. What's his name? I don't
Mike
know.
Moore, the guitar player.
Yeah.
I know who you mean, but I don't know his name.
Yeah, Mike Moore.
Yeah, well, Steve. He nailed the Live Forever solo. And there was, because my view was basically the screen, and I was watching, I am a guitarist, and I could see. Yeah, he nailed the Live Forever solo. And then for Supersonic, he did something that I always wish Noel did live, which was in the outro, Noel did this. He would change it over the years, but he would sort of write his own sort of lead guitar bit, which I liked and everything. But he never reintroduced near the end the sort of hook. Whereas, yeah, he did the lead guitarist did do that, and I really liked that. But generally, I thought the guitar work was better than I expected.
Okay.
So that was good, and the drumming, yeah, the drummer was good. I think I was more impressed with the band than I have been ever, like listening to them do Oasis stuff. But they do, like Liam. So I've always said this. They do Liam's solo stuff a lot better than Oasis.
Yeah.
Do you think on that point then, with the solo stuff, because it's Liam, so you know that that's like the original sound, so you're not picking faults, if that's the right word, because you're not comparing it to Oasis.
Yeah, that, absolutely. If you're going to be comparing it to Oasis are one of my favourite live bands of all time. So they're never going to stand up to it. Yeah, so there is a bit of that. Yeah,
because right. I find that when I'm watching Liam solo, and you get to the points where you see like the solo guitar bits that Noel would normally pick up on, and in my head I'm listening for the Noel bits, and I'm thinking, well, it shouldn't really sound like that. It should sound like Noel does it, sort of thing. And that's how I get a bit annoyed. But then last night, I didn't go there with that sort of like expectation of thinking, oh, I was just so in awe of the place because it brought back so many good memories of 96. And I was like, you know, whatever they did last night was going to be brilliant for me anyway, just to relive it sort of thing, you know. But, I didn't really compare it last night. I thought it was excellent.
I agree. And I think that the big thing for me was that when none of them are sort of a big enough characters. It's Liam's band and it's Liam and they are the band members in the background. And so like, even with the backing vocals as well, it really needs you know, someone to take that on and do the, like, the nobody knows, you know, do Noel's bit back, you know, and it just feels like that was lacking. And I know that the girls have sort of done that. And on the arena tour, when I last saw him and the videos and stuff, and Why Me, and on the MTV Unplugged and things, I think the girls came through really, really strong. But I think they were very quiet. It felt to me like in those, it was just the absence of Noel really felt missing on the backing vocals. And also in the guitar stuff, like you're saying, it was like, it was funny. And we'll come on to like John Squire. When John Squire came on, it was like, okay, this guy is taking over. Okay, you're this right. Isn't equal to Liam, and he is playing guitar, yeah. And we're going to hear him play guitar. Whereas when the other guys were playing, it was like, they're the backing band. Do you know what I mean? And they weren't bold enough to take it. And maybe it was the sound mix was like, no, we're going to have Liam's vocals front and center and loud. Everything else just dampened down in the background.
But I think that's their sound. And none of the guitarists are that, because one of them plays more lead than the other one. They're not really, like you say, bold enough to take that on. They just sort of do the job, and it's not quite as good as Noel. But I think, I mean, if Bonehead could have made it, I think he would have glued it all together, because that's what he does. It's a shame.
I was absolutely gutted he wasn't there. I'm guessing everyone was as well, but
and there was a lovely Bonehead when he dedicated the song to Bonehead, and there was a nice Bonehead chant went up and everything. That was really lovely, I thought.
But
mentioned John Squire there. So John Squire, obviously we knew on Saturday, I mean, I knew, I don't know if I imagine you figured it out, Simon, but it would have been a complete surprise for you, Imran.
Yeah, I'm not on Twitter. I don't know if it was before Friday, whether there was any speculation, but yeah, it was a complete surprise. And I preferred, so I was there for 96 Nebworth, and what Oasis used to do in those days was just all the songs live, unless they brought on the harmonica and the strings and the acoustic guitars, all the songs were full on. So their version of Champagne Supernova was just loud guitar amps and just full on. Liam would sing it full on. And that was what that version was, with John Squire playing with Noel. But this one was more mellow, and it was a cleaner guitar sound, and it built up. He was just phenomenal. He absolutely, his playing on that was absolutely brilliant. I want to hear a proper version, you know, the live recording of that, because that version was really, really good. The only thing I will say is that it felt like Liam was saving his voice for the second night, because the why, he didn't do that bit. It was just why. Really? And it's just like, no, you're supposed to hold the note. Why? And he didn't do it. And I was, oh, okay. Yeah, probably saving his voice.
So we got the better deal then.
Let's cut to the most important factor of John Squire's appearance, though. What is his hair all about? Did you notice?
Was that a hat? Is he wearing a hat?
Well, I was like, is that a hat? Like, you know, when you get those funny hats with the hair attached. Bloody hell, John. What the hell is that?
I know. It's a bit balmy. Yeah.
I think he's in a competition with Tim Burgess from the Charlatans to see who's got the worst haircut in rock.
Very weird. It was like, it reminded me of, you remember Fraggle Rock? There's a Fraggle there with the cap with the big fuzzy ginger hair. I was like, wow, if that was the straightened and dark, that would have been it. But
too young for that, JC.
Yeah, I know. Well, I can say that. I'm the only person here that can, you know. But
did Liam introduce him as the coolest guy on the planet?
Yeah, he said that for us as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a couple of people around me like, Noel, he's going to bring out Noel. No, he's not going to bring out Noel. That's not happening. Noel Brilliant. Was in Port Talbot playing a festival.
That's right, yeah.
Some of the videos have come up online. It looks so embarrassing, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah,
I haven't checked it. I haven't seen the videos, but I've seen some of the tweets about it, but I haven't checked it out yet.
Yeah, I mean, what I've seen is someone filming from like the pit, and so it's not like the crowd, but because they're from the pit and up at the stage, and the stage just looks like it's set up in a school or something. You know, it looks really bad, and the sound just sounds awful. And then I was like, how many people were there? Is this like, it looks like he's playing to, like, you know, was that bit in Spinal Tap, like puppet show and then Spinal Tap, you know, it's like, you know, meanwhile, brothers down the road, you know, down the M4 doing bloody 80,000. It's sort of, it just did look a bit crap, you know, but we shall see, you know.
Roll It Over was a standout moment as well for me. I thought he absolutely nailed that tune. And I mean, I haven't got much hair up top anyway, but what little bits I have got, they were stood on end when he was playing that. Yeah, but I've got a soft spot off the album for More Power, and I knew that was coming up anyway because I checked out the set list. But yeah, I thought that. With the choir and everything, I thought that was brilliant moment as well. I really enjoy that tune on the album. So yeah, and obviously the Oasis tunes, there's where I was still, I was a bit further back than you, Imran. I was so as you look at the stage, I was on the right hand side, probably about halfway back, I think, some sort of thing near the middle. I was right down the front in 96, but I'm too old for that game now. but yeah, so we were there, and the crowd around us seemed to be similar sort of age to me in the main. So yeah, maybe they all had the same sort of view in terms of like, well, we'll go a bit further back. But yeah, I thought all the Oasis tunes, I mean, everyone was like singing round near me for that. But then when the solo stuff was coming on, there was not many people where I was singing the solo stuff, because for obvious reason they don't really know many of the words anyway, apart from the choruses. And like you, Imran, it was great to hear Liam's voice more so on the solo stuff, because it comes across more. So yeah. But I was just in awe of the actual occasion as well, because it meant so much back in 96 to me anyway. And the opportunity to go there again. When I went in 96, I went with my sister and her husband at the time, and she'd not long come out of hospital, so she couldn't. We got there at 4 in the morning, queued up, because we wanted to get down the front, and the idea was I was going to run down to the front, save a space, and because my sister couldn't run, she couldn't really walk. She discharged herself early from the hospital, actually, just to go to the gig. And I said, I'll save a space down the front. And I ran down the front. That was the last I saw of them all day. She had a bag of food and drink that you're allowed to take in at the time. We had no mobile phones, as you know. And literally, I got to the front. And whenever the gates opened, I think it must have opened a similar sort of time, about 11 o'clock. And I was the last I saw of them, and I never moved from the front barrier for the whole gig in 96. And I had no idea, because it was like a half moon back then, So I never saw my sister then. Luckily, we'd arranged to meet up after the gig and say, all right, if we get lost, we'll split up, we'll meet at a certain location. But I had no food or drink all day, apart from some guy who was stood next to me. He was like, oh, he must have been pissed out of his mind. He was like, oh, Bonehead, I'll get you a drink. He thought I was Bonehead. So he must have been high on drugs or something. But yeah, now and again, one of his mates would buy me a drink. And then I said to my sister, when they announced Nebworth for this year, I said, right, we're definitely going to go, but this time I won't desert you.
Because you're in the footage, aren't you? You can see yourself.
Yeah. So I'm on. I think I'm on the Nebworth documentary. But I went on the Saturday night, so you get a clear picture of me right at the front barrier back in '96 on the documentary. But my wife had had a transplant during COVID, so I couldn't go to watch the Oasis documentary in the cinema, which was one of my regrets. I never saw it on the large screen. So I only ever saw it when it came out on DVD. And yeah, I spotted myself on the DVD. But bizarrely, I'm not on the Saturday complete concert, although I am on the documentary. So that's a bit strange.
Weird.
Yeah.
Strange, isn't it?
I just thought it was just amazing to be there once again. But this time to like soak up the atmosphere with my sister, who wasn't able to do last time, so.
Yeah. I thought it was the Oasis songs in terms of the atmosphere and stuff. It would be like when they would start, everyone would start jumping up and down, but then after like 30 seconds, then that would sort of stop, that would sort of die down, and then people would just be singing, or you get the occasional, you know, bouncing, or like, you know, people would just individually be bouncing and stuff. And then you could see down in the main pit in front of the stage, it was a bit mad. There was sort of people were going a bit more mad down there. The individual the solo songs I thought Once really stood out as like, okay, Once is now up there with the Oasis classics now, you know, that is that got that, you know, to be the closing track of the, I know it was the, you know, it was, he didn't even pretend it was going to be the last one, you know, it's the last one for a bit, and but you know, for a solo song to be in that position when he's got so many other anthems from Oasis that he could have picked. I thought that was great.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I think the solo stuff that he's released and played at the show, I think it was sort of like made for the live environment, because, you know, you had like Come On You Know, although it's a great track on the album. Initially, when I first heard it, I wasn't totally thrown with it. I just thought it was like pretty average, and it was a strange sort of release for the single. I wasn't taken aback by it at the time. But then seeing it played live last night, I thought it elevated it up to another level. I thought it was really good live. And even Everything's Electric, although that was like, I thought that was a good track when he released that one as a single. But it took it up that extra level playing live. I just thought it added that extra bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Definitely. Really, everyone was singing along to Everything's Electric.
Yeah.
That like quite staccato. Hey, you, da-da-da-da-da, feeling, da-da-da-da, you know, everyone was doing that. That was cool.
Well, one track I'm sad that it didn't play, which really is like a really good sing-along and like you'd expect him to play at a gig, is For What It's Worth.
Yeah.
Why, you know, play it. It's one of your best songs.
I know. Well, he only did one track off As You Were.
Yeah. So,
Wall of Glass, yeah. Which I think Wall of Glass, I think we can shuffle off now. You know, I think I've had enough of Wall of Glass, to be honest.
Yeah. Greedy Soul. That's a great tune.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Could have been there. For what it's worth, I agree. Or even like I would have, you know what? I know it's like a bit of a classic and, you know, a big Oasis song. Some might say for me, I was just like, I think it's slow. You know, I've said on the pod before that I think it's too slow. I would have, you know, I think I once sped it up 25% on the pod, and again, it sounds better.
Oh, you know what? That one, they dropped a couple of keys, so you can sing the high notes.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I noticed that.
So maybe that's sort of taken away from it as well, because it just feels a bit sluggish to me. That did burn in, you know, and so I was like, okay, you know, it's cool that they're playing it, but then when it kicks in, then Cigarettes and Alcohol comes in, bah, 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 and everyone's bopping about, you know.
Okay. No, that was one of the best songs of the night.
Yeah.
Cigarettes and Alcohol wasn't, and the crowd just, me as well, I just went mental. Yeah.
The one time I wasn't like massively emotional throughout the show, to be honest. I didn't cry. Honest gov, but you know, I did find it emotional, like I say, when you saw Liam, you know, like for instance in Stand By Me, he didn't sing the chorus a lot. He was just stood there and he was like holding his maracas like close to his heart, mm-hmm. like that. And he just mm-hmm. had his like his eyes closed. He was like, you could tell he was really, really loving it. And I don't know if it's because of the Halifax advert. And so now suddenly Stand By Me is become something that so many people have heard. But I think when he bought it back before the Halifax advert in the live set, it was cool. But now I think everyone knows it so much more because they've bloody heard it so many thousand times on that TV advert. So I thought Stand By Me was absolutely massive. And that was probably the kind of emotional moment, I thought.
But I wish that the backing, I don't know, maybe I couldn't hear them, but like for the chorus of that, Noel's backing is really important. And
yeah, well, it's almost a duet, isn't it?
But yeah, I mean, it just wasn't there. Like, yeah.
I'd have liked to have seen him play off the new album "I'm Free."
Yeah,
yes.
I really like that track, and that's quite rocky as well, and quite raw. And I think that would have been a great addition last night if they played that live as well.
Of a recent gig he did, didn't he have it on the set list of something?
I don't think he's done "I'm Free." He did "Worlds in Need" at a gig, but no, I don't think he's done "I'm Free."
Okay.
I mean, the only other one would have been the Royal Albert Hall one. So, yeah, I don't think so. I could be wrong. I'm just going to Google it now, actually. But, yeah, I thought, I mean, just looking around, like you were saying, like looking at, there was like three quite young guys, probably late teens, early 20s maybe. And in Champagne Supernova, they just had their arms around each other. And it was beautiful. You know, I found that really beautiful, actually. And then in Live Forever, one line, you know, and I've heard Live Forever a million times, you know, I played it in my band, like, but the line that really hit me was maybe you're the same as me. You know, I know it then goes on to the famous line is we see things they'll never see, but that's what Liam, you know, is saying, maybe you're the same as me. You know, he was a fan, he was out there, you know, he would be sitting and watching, and we're here with him, you know, he's a superstar and everything else, but you know, we are.
When he sang that line, maybe you're the same. So I can picture myself now. I literally just turned to the right to my sister. I was just like singing it to her, and it was just caught up in the moment. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was pretty beautiful, and it did make me think. Like, I wasn't doing too much like nostalgia. I was just more, you know, enjoying it. But that did make me think. Like I say, when we, I've recently had a 25th anniversary of my band playing this local gig where we hired out a local village hall. And it was like our first proper gig, you know, we'd done little bits and pieces, but our first proper gig where we'd sold tickets and we had probably 100 people in there or something. And we ended the night, and then they were like, you know, I actually had to do an encore, but we hadn't learned anything. I was only 17 or whatever. And so we did, we played Live Forever just because everyone could probably figure out how to play it. It's pretty simple. And yeah, and a few of my mates came on stage and sort of sang it. And so I had a flashback to that moment singing along to that. But yeah, that was pretty special, I thought. And maybe you're the same as me. We'll see things I'll never say. I said, so I'm not like 100%, it was the best thing I've ever seen. I do have some misgivings over it, but generally the point I made someone on text today was, to be honest, Liam could have just put on a CD, pressed play and stood there and sung along to a karaoke machine, and it would have been absolutely just as good. You know, the band is for fine.
Yeah, I'd have still been happy with that.
That was what it was all about. All you want to do is you want to sing along to Oasis songs, and you want to and have Liam there, because Liam is Liam. So next time, mate, you can save yourself a few quid, karaoke machine. That's it. Sorted. Oh, dear. But, well, yeah.
I learned a new, I found out a new story. So my sister's husband-to-be, she gets married in August again. It's been postponed a few times through COVID, but her fella is in a band, and he's got a story to tell. And I said, oh, I'll have to invite him onto the pod to tell James about it. So apparently his claim to fame is that he went into the, he was on the support with, I'm not sure if it was Noel or Oasis. I can't remember now what she said, but basically he's pissed in the plant pot in Noel's dressing room, and played his guitar and ate some of the goodies out of his like rider sort of thing. So that's what she told me. So, and it's true. She's not making it up. But I'll have to ask her again whether it was like a Noel gig or whether it was whether it was an Oasis gig. But yeah,
fantastic. All right, well, look, any closing thoughts in particular, Imran?
I'm glad he did Why Me, Why Not, and then the sort of going into Come Together, that was another moment that I remember. Slide Away, I also remember, was really good. Wonderwall was a bit of a disappointment, actually. I don't know why. Yeah.
Maybe I just thought that was quite a highlight for me.
I couldn't really hear it because everyone was just singing.
Everyone was singing it, yeah. Yeah.
That's probably what it was, to be fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I think Liam really took this gig or these gigs really seriously, looked after his voice, and yeah, absolutely smashed it. And yes, the band are not perfect, and you know, all that stuff. But no, roll it over. Like, I think that's a good thing to do, so to do songs that Oasis didn't do live or didn't do live very often.
Yeah.
Because that just makes things interesting, really. But yeah, I'd love to hear the proper recorded version of that, the live version they did of that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. All right, and Si, any closing thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, a Slide Away again for me. That was, I just remember now, that was a brilliant moment last night. I think overall, the bits where like Noel will come in with a little vocal on the end, and that's sort of like missing for me in some of the tracks last night. You're sort of like waiting for that, even if it's just like one of the other band members coming in and doing it. You're just waiting for that, and there was bits missing where that should have been there, I think. Maybe it's Liam's choice not to allow them to do it. I'm not sure, but I just thought it was an outstanding gig. And I think, it's, like Imran said, I think his voice is sounding really, really great at the moment. and he's obviously having the vocal training or whatever you call it to look after his voice. Yeah. I just thought his voice is excellent at the moment. But I will say on some of the bits where he goes power, and he's got like that vibrating that comes in, and it's like the echo that comes in on the vocal. And I'm not sure whether that's there to help his vocal or whether that's there to expand his vocal around the stadium sort of thing, or around the arena. But yeah.
I found that annoying at times, actually.
You think?
But it was sort of, there was like a deliberate echo on certain lines, and it just sort of, I found it kind of just a bit distracting. I agree.
It didn't really annoy me. It's just that I've never really heard it, an Oasis or a Liam gig before, you know? So it was like a new thing, and I don't know whether that was like to help his voice or what. But saying that, I didn't think his voice needed any help in any. I thought his voice sounded excellent last night.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, look. Very very special night. Very pleased to have been there. For those of you that are listening that did get to go, then just if you want to drop your thoughts, it would be great to hear from you. Or if you were at the Etihad as well, or if you go into the other ones coming up. Liam Gallagher plays to 160,000 people over two nights at Nebworth. It was just to say, I mean, just in terms of size, obviously we were both there, all three of us were there, sorry. Like, it didn't feel as big to me this time, but I don't know if that's maybe like when you go back to your primary school, and you're like, oh my God, it feels so small. Yeah. Like, you know, this was massive and now it's tiny. But I think maybe it was. I mean, we know this was 80 and the 96 gigs were 125. But the other point I was going to make, the natural slope, brilliant. You know, that was fantastic. Yeah. You know, that's so good to have a natural
It's a
slope
brilliant like venue for that, isn't it?
Yeah. So good for that, isn't it? But then it did feel like, I was like, well, I'm sure at 96 it went on. Like, you know, you could look up and you could kind of see like a big circle, whereas Nebworth is like in 96, it went back further. You know,
it definitely went back further, because where all the like the food outlets were at the back of the arena, they were closer to the crowd. So, but then I was looking, because I was thinking, well, were they closer though? Because there was like trees just behind, or quite a few large trees behind them. I don't remember seeing them, or maybe they were part of Nebworth. I was right down the front in 96. So, so maybe they were there, but it seemed to be a lot smaller. But
Here's a question. How many tickets would Noel have sold?
Well, it depends if he played Oasis songs. I think that's the difference. If he played Oasis, if it was like, he is going to be playing Oasis songs, then I think he probably would have. Well, I don't know if he wouldn't have done 80,000. He might probably would have done. Well, he doesn't do stadiums, does he?
Like, no.
He does. He does okay when he does arenas. You know, he'll do like 8,000 in Cardiff, or you know, 12,000 at Wembley or whatever. He tends to do that pretty okay. But
you're right. If he decided to then just up the percentage of Oasis songs in his set, he would sell a lot more tickets. Yeah, probably sell twice as many.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
he's not bothered though, is he? That's the thing. It's like he couldn't care less.
He's
really
taking his solo stuff a lot more seriously. I think maybe too seriously, and he should just sort of chill out a bit.
Yeah, I mean, he could even do like plays Morning Glory in full. You know, that sort of thing. You know, like a lot of bands are doing that. A lot of Britpop
anniversary
bands. I don't think he'd do that because he's too precious about it. He's not sort.
I read a review of his gig last night. Earlier, and people were like really disappointed, saying he's just a bit lazy because it's the same set list from 2019, and there's been no change, you know, and it's just a bit boring sort of thing. And I mean, I live in North Wales, and Noel Gallagher's playing in a few weeks' time in Colwyn Bay, which is literally 20 minutes away from my house. And I haven't even bought myself a ticket. I love Noel to bits, you know, and I love Oasis, but I've got no interest really in going to a Noel gig, because I didn't particularly like his last album, if I'm honest. But I like the first two albums, but then I didn't like the last, and I think I wouldn't get the same enjoyment out of going to that, because my expectation is that I'd like to like a 50-50 mix. Like Liam played, I think it was about 50% of Oasis, 50% of his solo stuff last night, roughly.
No, it was more. I think it was about 65% Oasis, 35%.
I think I looked it up. I think, well, I think they had Shockwave on your night, or they had Shockwave at the Etihad, and they didn't have that. He didn't play Shockwave, I don't think, yesterday.
Oh, right. So no, he did. That was after Wall of Glass.
Yeah, so I don't think he did Shockwave. So maybe they were like a bit short on time, and then they said they had to drop Shockwave, or he just couldn't be bothered. But yeah, so I think it was...
Okay, I've just looked at it online. 12 Oasis, 10 solo.
Right, okay.
It's pretty even then.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, no, it is about 50-50, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I think with Noel, you get more of his solo stuff, and I'm not a great lover of his later solo stuff, so
yeah.
I haven't bought myself a ticket for his latest concert. It's literally just down the road from me. So my sister's going.
Noel's voice is probably sounding the best as it ever has done, and his band, I love listening to his band.
Yeah.
I think really, really good.
So,
but yeah, if he did more Oasis, that's what people want, cool. Really, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, gents. Well, thank you very much for jumping on at short notice. It's great to hear from you both. And we'll hopefully speak to you again soon. But what a night. Eh? Here we go.
Cheers, James. Cheers, Imran. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah,
and here's brilliant to seeing Liam at the 25th anniversary of this when he's 75.
I'll have my little walking stick with me.
Yeah, we all will. All right. Cheers, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, both. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Thank you very much to the guys for coming on the call. One thing I didn't mention in the call, actually, that was a really special moment was a little boy called Kai was on the front of the stage with a sign that said, I love you, Liam, or something like that. And Liam actually sort of got him out of the crowd, went to the side and gave him his tambourine and then sort of picked him up from the stage. And one of the things I really liked about that, he didn't get him up on stage, you know, which would have made a bit too much of a fuss of it. It would have made it too fussy. He just did it, you know, off to the side of the stage. And I just thought it was really, really lovely. Nice moment. And not too cheesy, but just cool. And I see his godfather who took him was tweeting about it today. And all very nice, very wholesome. So that will do it for today. Thank you very much for listening. Most of all, thanks go to our patrons. If you want to be a part of future phone-ins, then the way to do it is to be on Patreon. What I do is I sort of tend to mention on the Discord or on the Patreon page, you know, I'm going to be recording tonight at 9, who wants to jump on?
And if you're around and you want to jump on, then you jump on. And that's how sort of this one happened. So if you'd like to be involved in future calls, then sign up and keep an eye on the Patreon and the Discord. Do follow on social media where you can at Oasis Podcast and Oasis Pod. And email me, oasispod@gmail.com. Feel free to drop over your thoughts on the recent Liam gigs or Noel gigs if you've been to those. Or if you want to drop your thoughts on the album, happy to hear those and drop those in the future episode where we're going to be doing a bit more of a follow-up on those things as well. I think that'll about do it. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.